Okay, today is April the 8th, 2008. I'm sitting here with Mark, and I have had something on my mind for some time I've wanted to discuss. This is not going to be a very popular subject. In fact, many of the people that listen to this sermon, or even read the title of the sermon, are going to probably get downright mad and offended. But, you know, I'm sorry. I'm going to entitle this little discussion with Mark tonight, Dead Theological Cemeteries. Dead Theological Cemeteries. You know, I am so sick and tired of being out amongst people in the world, and they will say something like, my son went to blah blah blah, and it can be you know, St. Paul's Theological Cemetery, Seminary. It could be the Nazarene Theological Seminary. It could be Dort College. It could be Calvin Seminary. It could be Western Reformed Seminary. It could be Midwest Baptist Seminary. It could be on and on and on. And these institutions are dead. They're cemeteries. They're full of dead men's bones. And they're preaching doctrines of devils. Okay? Why do I know this? Well, all you have to do is listen to what these people that come out of these seminaries, what they teach and what they preach and what they are espousing. And it's not out of the Bible. You know, they're getting their doctrine from the traditions of men. And we're warned all the way through Scripture not to participate in the doctrines of devils. And so if you've gone to one of these cemeteries, you need to get out of it. You need to quit espousing it. And by the way, if you went to a secular university, and sat like I did at the University of Kansas, I recently went on a website from my old high school, and it wanted to put your profile on there. And I put my profile on the Kansas City College and Bible School website stating that I had gone to KU and found secular humanism taught, and I rejected it wholeheartedly. I do not espouse what I said under. And if you're still proud of your bachelor's degree from a university where you learned all this secular garbage, and you're still proud to display it, I will not display my degree. Okay? And if you got your cemetery degree up on your wall saying that you got a doctor of divinity from some cemetery, whatever it is, you should take it down and you should burn it. You should burn it. Because these people in these cemeteries are teaching doctrines of devils, humanistic psychology. People like Jay Adams, who went to humanistic colleges and now is trying to synergize and call it biblical counseling. You know, calling it biblical counseling. It's not biblical counseling when a guy sits under Freud and Carl Rogers and Carl Jung, and then tries to incorporate it in and tries to now make everybody feel good. And you know, how many books has Jay Adams wrote? We're going to look at some passages, Mark, tonight. And you know, it all starts from the top down. The presidents of these theological cemeteries, and all the way down to what is called Christian education. And Mark, I want you to look in the 9th chapter. Actually, let's start with the 10th chapter of the 9th chapter of Jeremiah. The 9th chapter of Jeremiah. And I'll tell you what, we need to take a stand against these false teachers. And these people that, you know, all you have to do is look at the amount of money they charge to go get a cemetery degree, a death certificate from the theological cemeteries. All you have to do is look at how much money they're charging, and that's enough evidence for me that it's filthy lucre. That's why they're in it, for mammon. Mark, read the 23rd and the 24th verse.
Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, and that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
We're not to glory in our wisdom. We're not to, you know, I was telling someone recently, it makes me sick to my stomach when people call somebody one of the divines. One of the divines, like John Owen, or put that kind of title on his name. We're not supposed to be exalting the wisdom of men and the amount of money it costs to go to one of these theological cemeteries is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. He goes on and he says, let's look on over now to the 10th chapter of Jeremiah. Mark, read verse 21 there.
The pastors are become British and not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper and all their flocks shall be scattered.
Why do you think that there are so many mega churches right now? Well, because all the true sheep of God don't want to have anything to do with these false teachers and these false preachers. They've been scattered. And he says that he says in the 23rd verse, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. But here the pastors, it says, are become brutish, have not sought the Lord, therefore they shall not prosper. And it's speaking there of spiritual prospering. They may financially prosper. They may spread their, you know, like a Green Bay tree. They may drive their SUVs around. They may live in their fancy houses, have their 401k plan, have their health insurance, go on their long vacations, go over to the, quote, Holy Land for their crusades, go on their cruises, on their gospel cruises. That has nothing to do with God. That has to do with the flesh. And he says, Mark, I want you to read into the 12th chapter of Jeremiah and read, let's look at the difference between God's elect and those that are going and coming out of these theological cemeteries. Read the 10th verse of the 12th chapter.
Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness.
That's exactly what these doctors of theology and doctors of divinity. I get so sick and tired of seeing these doctors' titles before somebody's name or reverent. We're not supposed to be exalting men. You know, we're not supposed to be putting men up on a pedestal. Dr. James Kennedy, Dr. Robert Shuler, Dr. Billy Graham, Dr. Adrian Rogers, Dr. Go on and on and on. John Hagee, Dr. Bill Bright, he's passed away. Dr. James Kennedy's passed away. We're not supposed to be exalting these people and putting up on a pedestal. That's why now they got Billy Graham up on a statue in front of a church. Give me a break. He says, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot and have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. And that's exactly what they've done. And in the 14th verse, he says, thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land. Why do these people try to say that you have to go to a cemetery, and this cemetery puts all kind of doubts in a person's mind? Many of them question the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They use newfangled versions of the Bible, like the New Age version, the New International version, all of these new translations. And then they wonder why, when someone comes out of the cemetery, they are confused and they are questioning everything. Rather than relying upon the Bible to teach someone, we put them in a cemetery and pretty much kill them by the time they go through cemetery. Now, Mark, read the 14th chapter of Jeremiah and read the 14th verse there.
And the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and the thing of not in the seat of their heart.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, I sent them not. Yet they say, how many people do you know that say, well, the Lord called me into the ministry. That's why I'm going to cemetery. Well, all I've got to say is, if the Lord called you in the ministry, you'll stay out of the cemetery. You won't go to that dead, dry organization that teaches lies. You won't want to have anything to do with it. And when you start going to that cemetery and you start questioning why they're teaching certain things that are in contradistinction to the Bible, look out, because your grades are going to take a nosedive. And so when somebody starts bragging to me about, well, they graduated cum laude, and you know what I think? Big deal. That just shows that they were just good politicians and telling the professors what they wanted to hear. Cum laude. You think Jesus Christ would have graduated from a theological school cum laude? No, I don't think so. And then people will talk about, well, I want to go into counseling. I want to be a doctor. No. Run from it. That's not of God. Counselor. Give me a break, J. Adams. Now, he says here in the 15th chapter of Jeremiah, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. I'll tell you what, if you preach what I'm preaching today, or discuss what we're discussing today, you are going to suffer rebuke. Because people want to be they want you to know that they have their masters in theology, or their masters in psychology, or their masters in counseling, or they're piled higher and deeper, I'm sorry, PhD in religious studies, or their doctorate in divinity. He says, now he goes on and he says here, let's look over to the I want to go on over to the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. The whole 23rd chapter of Jeremiah has to deal with the subject I'm talking about tonight. You know, it talks about these people that are trying to set about specifically to deceive people and to give them a pack of lies. That's what this whole chapter is about. And it starts out by saying, "Woe, woe." I'll tell you what, if Jeremiah the prophet says woe against these people, I'm going to say woe against them. I'm going to say woe against them. They're coming out of these humanistic colleges, getting up in front of hundreds of people and saying that they are a minister from God. And they're teaching things. They're just like Joel Osteen. He says, "I don't talk about sin. I just want to make somebody have a nice day, help somebody have a nice day." Well, read, Mark, for me, the first in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, the first chapter down, first verse down through the 6th verse.
"Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness."
Well, he says that these people are scattering the sheep of his pasture. And he goes on down through there, and Jeremiah says, in the 9th verse, "My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. My bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. Because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil. Their force is not right. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." You know, we're living in a time when if you start taking a stand against divorce and remarriage, you're a judging, you're not a loving person. And we're told in the New Testament there in Timothy that the elder and the deacon is to be a husband of one wife. Not a husband of one wife at one time. Okay? Husband of one wife. And here he says the land is full of adulterers. Okay? Full of them. And he says that he's going to that both the prophet and the priest are profane. This whole secondary education has become like a mad dog that is bringing forth the wickedness. It's what I call the trickle down. It's a trickle down. The leadership doesn't want to take a stand against abortion remarriage. They put their approval on it, and then they wonder why 60% of the population have ended up in divorce. They're marrying and giving in marriage. And more people in theological cemeteries have been divorced than outside of those institutions. He says, "Wherefore their way shall be unto them in slippery ways in darkness. They shall be driven on and farther in, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord." I've seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. We're seeing that right now. I mean, when we hear some of the absolute asinine things said by people that have come out of these theological cemeteries, and then we wonder why we're in such a mess that we're in. Now they're ordaining homosexuals, they're ordaining women, and what does ordaining mean? They're actually putting people in, supposedly in spiritual leadership that are in the homosexuals. And read verse 14, Mark.
"I have seen also in the prophets in Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers. None doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah."
You know, people say, "Well, you know, I was divorced and remarried before I was saved." Well, that's, I understand that. But why do they want to go seek ordination in ministry then? You know? And that's a whole other thing there we could talk about. The whole ecclesiastical mess. Synods and sessions and anytime you have to be voted in by the majority, okay, the majority's in the wrong. He says, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, many there be that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it." He says here, in the 14th verse, "I have seen all the prophets in Jerusalem, a horrible thing. They commit adultery, walk in lies, they strengthen also the hand of evildoers, that none doeth return from wickedness. They are all of them as Sodom, and the inhabitants as of Gomorrah." This is in the Old Testament. This is exactly what's happening today. You know, they come out of these cemeteries and they start trying to take on, they try to, rather than preach the gospel, they want to give people a feel-good religion and get into psychology. Psycho-garbage is what I call it. The J. Adams of our society, the Dr. James Dobsons, the Dr. D. James Kennedys with his evangelism explosion. Okay. Well, God gives us a warning. Read verse 15.
"Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of Gal. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land."
That's exactly what's happened. We're in the United States of America, profaneness has gone forth into all the land. Profane. Super Bowl parties in churches. That's profane. Guy told me, we bring the Super Bowl into the churches that people don't get drunk. Give me a break. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, not of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, The Lord hath said, Ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, No evil shall come upon you." And we heard that.
Yeah.
Lord didn't have anything to do with 9/11, as T.D. Jakes said. "That's not the God I serve." Well, for, read the 18th verse.
"For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word, who hath marked his word and heard it.
Right. And so God, through Jeremiah, says in the 21st verse, and this is what I'm saying to you all, that if you're listening to these people that come out of these dead cemeteries, they go through 4 years, you know, to be accepted in a cemetery. First, you have to go through 4 years of undergraduate humanistic teaching. They got to make sure you have that before you can even enter the cemetery. Okay, you've got to be almost completely dead before you even enter. Okay, and then he says in the 21st verse, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Read verse 22.
But if they have stood in my counsel and have caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings.
What kind of lies are the new people coming out of these cemeteries telling? They're telling that you have a free will. They're telling that they're denying the doctrine of original sin. They're saying that people are not totally depraved. They're saying that men are born and created in the image of God, which is a denial of original sin. They're saying that we shouldn't take the Bible literally. They're saying that we understand the new translations better than the old translations because they're in a modern vernacular language. They're saying that many things like the Noah and the flood and Jonah and the whale and Daniel and the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fire, all of that is just stories. He says, 25th verse, I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. Now everybody wants to go back to Carl Jung and Freud and start analyzing dreams. Jay Adams and his, you know, I was really disappointed when Lassir Bradley in his latest paper wanted to start exalting Jay Adams. Give me a break.
Who's Jay Adams?
Jay Adams is a calls himself a biblical counselor, but I would like for people to go do a little research on Jay Adams and find out what schools he graduated from. Okay. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? They are the prophets of deceit of their own heart. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten for my name for Baal. Well, read the 29th verse, Mark.
Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?
Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one for his neighbor. That's what these cemeterians have done. They've stole the word of God and changed it to their liking. He says, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Read verse 32.
Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies. By their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord.
And you know what? He ends that in the 40th verse. He ends that by saying, "I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten." And that's exactly what he's done to these modern day theologians. He's brought an everlasting reproach upon them and a perpetual shame, and it will not be forgotten. You know, now if we go back to the sixth chapter of Matthew, this is what I was speaking of earlier about these people that call themselves doctors of the Bible or doctors of theology or or preachers or reverends or maybe they call themselves PhDs in biblical studies or whatever. Read the 24th verse, Mark, of the fourth chapter, or of the sixth chapter of Matthew.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
You know, like I already said, just the amount of money that goes into these cemeteries and their programs, and the amount of money you have to spend to get that little piece of paper, is evidence to me that it's not of God. Did Jesus wear a Rolex on his television show? Would Jesus go through one of these modern day cemeteries? No, he would not. He says before that, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, now we're going to go over and look and see what Christ said about this matter. Let's see now. You know, I had my wife was just mentioning to me that this very morning. She said, you know, it's amazing how many people we have had to give up in relationships. It's not that we don't want to have relationships with them. They don't want to have anything to do with us. We're wacko. Because we're taking the stand and standing up for the Word of God. You know, we take a stand against divorce and remarriage. We take a stand against people that are preaching the Arminian doctrine, people that are touting humanistic psychology in churches and getting up and talking about the 8-step program. Okay? And teaching Maslow's hierarchy of needs right from the pulpit. Anyway, he says, here's Christ's answer to that. Read the in the 19th chapter of Matthew. Mark, read the 29th verse.
The young man saith unto him.
No, the 20th verse of the 19th chapter.
Of Matthew?
Yeah.
So I was reading.
29th verse, I'm sorry.
Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life.
All of these people that have the accolades now, okay, have the 401ks, great health insurance programs, drive around in their Escalades, their SUVs, fly all over the world, go on their cruises, go to their Holy Land crusades. They have their reward now. They have their reward now. But he says in verse 30, read that for us.
But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Okay. And you know, Christ laid his life down. He didn't go around in a chariot. He didn't go around in that kind of lifestyle, did he?
Mm.
No. He was a servant. And now let's look in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Now, you know, here's what the theologians try to do to people that are preaching the pure, unadulterated Word of God. Here's what they try to do. Because, you know, it's a threat to them. I mean, my goodness, this could have an impact on their 401k or their new car that they're going to get or their new whatever. Read verse 15 of chapter 22.
22?
Yeah.
Verse 15?
Yeah.
Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk.
Yeah, they didn't like it. You know, he had just talked about how the prior verse, how many are called but few are chosen. Man, you start talking about that. You start talking about predestination today. People will rail on you. But what happened here? He said, many are called, few are chosen, and the Pharisees took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. That's what they try to do to people like myself. They'll try to say, oh, what does he know? He doesn't have a cemetery degree. He doesn't have a death certificate from the cemetery. Well, I'm glad I don't have a death certificate from the cemetery. A degree. Okay? And he says here, and I know people say, hey, you're being awful hard, Larry. You know, there's some very good people that graduate from cemetery. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Why did they go to cemetery? Why did they spend the kind of money they did? And why, whenever they started questioning what the cemetery was teaching, why did they stay in it and succumb to it? He says, well, here's what those doctors of the law and people who like to be put reverend on their business card and put masters of education on their business card, here's what they like. Okay, read the fifth down through the 11th verse of the 23rd chapter.
Five through 11.
Yes.
Okay. All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant.
And he goes on and says, whomsoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And then he says, woe unto you, woe, woe, woe. Kind of like he's riding a horse, you want him to stop. Woe! Woe!
Yeah.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that are entering go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayer, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Bring him on into the cemetery. Teach him all of this garbage, and you're making them a child of hell just more than yourselves. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's the debtor. Well, he's back here saying, don't call people Rabbi, Rabbi, Master. You know, I want to have a I want people to know I have a master's degree. He says, no. Don't even call yourselves masters. And he goes, you know, and he goes on over here on the other side, and he says, the 25th verse, read that.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess.
Yeah, they're full of extortion and excess. Like I said, these people with these highfalutin degrees out of cemetery live higher a lot of times than anyone else in the church. They're always living in the nicest houses, driving the nicest cars, have the greatest salary program, have the biggest 401k, travel all over the world. I had a classmate of mine one time tell me, I asked him, what are you going to do vocationally when you get out of school? He says, I'm going to get filthy rich. And I said, how are you going to do that? And he goes, I'm going to build me a church. And you know what he did? He's got a church now. It's called Family Life Center. And he goes all over the world. And I've added on to that church two or three or four times. And I'm sure he's doing very well, thank you very much. Just like he planned to do. He says, 26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Read verse 27.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Well, doesn't sound very good for all of these people. People say, oh, Larry, you're just very judgmental. No, I'm reading the Bible. And if you don't like it, turn me off. Quit me off. If you don't like what I'm saying, it's just like people say, you know, take me off your email, and I'll be glad to take you off my email. Okay, now let's go over to we see that they like the titles. They like to be seen of men. And now let's look over at the 7th chapter of Mark. 7th chapter of Mark. And read the 6th verse there.
He answered and said unto them, 6th chapter of Mark?
7th chapter of Mark, verse 6.
He answered and said to them, well, have Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Laying aside the commandment of God. Behold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you did.
And he said, and then farewell you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Now, you know, that's just exactly what they're doing. They're basically, most churches today are nothing more than a social club. That's all it is, a social club. And let's just all get together and have a fellowship dinner and talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals. That's what we talk about over fellowship dinners, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or let's talk about football, high school football, or maybe my kid's soccer game. Or let's talk about anything other than spiritual things. Forget that. We get enough of that in church. Well, you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. And I'm here to say that the dead theological cemeteries need to all be closed down. People need to start getting back and studying their old King James Bible. Get out a Strong's Concordance. Start looking up, doing topical Bible studies. Look up words. Look up the resurrection. Look up predestination. Look up election. Look up the word atonement. Look up the word justification. Look up the word damnation. Look up the word wrath and hate and love. Start doing some study in your Bible, and maybe you'll find that these people coming out of these cemeteries are feeding you a pack of lies. Because that's exactly what they're doing. They've been taught a pack of lies by the leadership in those organizations. Okay, now, he says in 1 Corinthians, look in the first chapter, and we need to get back to preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to preach that there is an eternal hell, and that we're all going to be held accountable to God. and that he has chosen for himself a people, and he's died for them, and that we are not to glory in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Read the 18th verse of the first chapter there.
The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God.
It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? Read the 21st verse.
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Yeah, by the foolishness of preaching. It wasn't by going to some seminary and getting a doctorate in the study of the Holy Land, or studying the semantics of the Hebrew language. It was the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Read verse 24.
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. Another, you know, Larry's paraphrase there, God hath chosen the foolish, unlearned people to confound those who have gone through theological cemeteries. And the base things of the world and things which are despised, God has chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to things, not things that are. And why did he do all this? Well, the reason he did all of it is found in verse 29.
No flesh should glory in his presence.
We're not supposed to be giving ourselves the glory on anything. We're not supposed to be taking on titles. Look what I did, pat myself on the back routine. Look how many tassels I have on my graduation gown. Look at the stripes I've got on here. Do you know who I am? I'm cum laude. I graduated with honors. I have a little asterisk by my name in the bulletin. No. He says, in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He says in the sixth verse, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of the God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not in what I learned in some theological institution. You know, and I'm not against study, but I'm against cemeteries. I'm not against studying your Bible. I'm just not endorsing any theological cemetery in the United States or points around the world. Now, we're going to kind of end this discussion here with a couple different thoughts. Okay, I want to go back, Mark, to the second epistle of Thessalonians. And we see this, we're living in this day and time right now that this is speaking of. He says here in the second chapter, uh, read the verse 3.
Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come, except their coming and falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
This we're starting to see that people are starting to fulfill what Paul says here in Thessalonians is going to happen in the last day. He says, he says here in the fourth verse, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We certainly see that in the Pope today, don't we? Doesn't he call himself the Vicar of Christ?
Yeah.
Now, we're going to kind of end this, and we're going to see that we are to, in the 1 Timothy, the third chapter, I'll just read this, Mark. It says, I'm sorry, the fourth chapter. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's what we see right now. Richard Warren, or the Rick Warren Church, Saddleback,
yeah,
and all of these different institutions that say they're Christian. Mm-hmm. Joe Steen's Church, and most of the churches that also that have ministers coming out of these cemeteries. We're told in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Read that for me. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2.
Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables.
Okay, that's basically what's happened in the institutions. The higher institutions of supposed learning, but it's not learning, it's turning away from the truth and turning into fables. Turning into fables. And we also see, we're going to conclude here with a couple different thoughts. I'm going to go back to James. Read in the second chapter of James, read the fifth verse.
Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?
And he goes on and he says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So tonight we have just been in an exhorting, an admonishing mood to all those who are coming out of these institutions and taking on these titles that we are forbidden to take on in the New Testament. You know, call no man what?
Father.
Don't call any man master. Don't call any man rabbi. Rabbi. Any of these titles that exalt men. And we are not supposed to be changing the Word of God, making it say something totally different than what it says. We're not supposed to be wearing long robes and trying to edify and glorify ourselves. You know, that's the whole nutshell. That's why I have such a repulsion against the cemeteries of the day. Father, we pray that you would take this message, and you know, we've been righteously indignant of what we see in our society, where we've got these people out now trying to promote the 8 STEP program and psychology in the churches, and calling it biblical psychology. Father, we pray that you would convict these people of their sin, have them return to the Bible, to burn their degrees, and recognize and be willing to take a stand against these theological dead men's bones that they've taken on. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.